T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B-Bitch here, JP out at the park, checking out the Washington football team as they get back into practice. Many buyers, you just heard Earl Voicy say, that the team had, and now they get back, you're ready to go play the Buffalo Bills. And JP was mentioning a little bit about the atmosphere there. Buffalo is a rabbit town when it comes to fans. They love their team. They're going to make it loud. But he was asking me the question about Taylor Heineke and did I think it would affect him. And I don't think it will. You know, the thing I've noticed about Taylor Heineke is doesn't seem to be fazed by much. If he's faking, then he's put on a damn good show. But I think this young man is uber confident in himself. And once he gets on the football field, he just wants to play. And I guess if you hear me make my comments about him, I'm hesitant to give too much praise too soon because I understand that position and I understand how they game plan for the quarterbacks. But when it comes down to the mentality to play the game of football, I don't think he has an issue with that at all. I was one when I would go to a stadium where they had a lot of people in the stands that would make a lot of noise and they were very, very, you know, aggressive. I would say Philadelphia, Cleveland, Buffalo, the Raiders, anytime the Raiders are anywhere. Those are some aggressive type fans. And those are the ones that you want to make them shut up. But you don't do it by trying to go out there and just attack fans or, you know, say stuff to them. You just do it by your play. And for some reason, I noticed when we played against the teams that were the very vocal, the fans were vocal, the crowd was loud. It was the weeks where I focused even more because I just think that play after play, it shuts them down, it quiets them up. And and that's the only way you function, because the way that those fans, that crowd can affect Taylor would be if they allow the Buffalo Bills to get up and then the crowd is going crazy when he's on offense and nobody can hear him. But if they can go up there and start putting some points up and make this game close and kind of take the crowd out of the game, then you have something to happen right there. You know, you can start doing a little bit. The crowd doesn't play. Now, they can affect you where people can't hear you, but they don't play. And I'm watching him, and I think the guy is as confident as anybody out there. I'm not worried about him playing. But it's going to take all of those guys helping him and the defense even to where you take a little bit of that crowd out the game. Minute by minute, quarter by quarter, if the Buffalo Bills fans are sitting on their hands because their team is in too close of a game or they're losing a little bit, you change it up. People, they feed off of their crowd, the home team. But you know what? When the home team is not cheering, they also know that something good is not happening. So Taylor Heineke, I expect to go out there, play well. You know, he's not going to be affected by the crowd. You know, the only thing I think would make him be affected if the Buffalo Bills defense start doing some things to him. And we've talked a lot, and we heard Nate earlier talking about Daniel Jones and us not blitzing him. I don't think that's going to happen this week when Buffalo faces us. Because as much as we talk about Sean McDermott, who's the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, was on the staff of Ron Rivera, I don't think he's like Ron. I don't think he's like a Jack. I think he's more like Jim Johnson, who used to be in Philadelphia, defensive coordinator extraordinaire who loved blitzing. And I believe Sean McDermott is going to blitz a little bit. Like Nate was saying, we should have done Daniel Jones. JP, do you expect Sean McDermott to come after Taylor Heineke?
Absolutely, B. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Especially, I mean, for all the excitement about Heineke, this is a guy, I mean, it's only his fourth career start. It's only his second start this year. I mean, he's still extremely inexperienced, I would say. And I think McDermott and the Bills are definitely going to come after him. And honestly, if you go watch that Dolphins game, as much as Josh Allen and Steph Diggs are the headliners of the Bills, I mean, their defense kind of won that game and didn't help when Tua went out and then Washington's or Miami's playing with Jacoby Brissett, I think. But, yeah, I'd expect a heavy dose of blitzing Sunday in Buffalo. So, B-Mitch, I just went down and watched some practice. You know, one thing that's pretty interesting is their roster's a man down. They only have 52 on the active, and I kind of get the feeling they're saving it for Curtis Samuel to come back next week. Let's, you know, hope slash assume Curtis Samuel
is. Is he out on the field?
So, no, I did not see him, but I try to get some clarity. There are specific rules with the injured reserve. I don't believe he's allowed to practice with the team.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean he couldn't be on the side field with trainers, kind of practice adjacent. But I did not see him out there at all. Starting next week is where it'll get interesting, because if they take him off the IR, they have a 21-day period where they either activate him or then you have to shut him down for the year. So that's another 3 weeks. It's plenty of time. But the clock kind of starts ticking on this thing, and it becomes a lot more interesting to watch, I think. Another thing that I wanted to kind of talk about, I'm going to actually tweet this out because I've gotten a ton of questions about this. I'm going to explain this on air right now. So Jarrett Patterson had a tweet last night that got a lot of people kind of worried, wondering what was going on, etc. Did you see either the tweet or the Instagram post, B?
No.
So Jarrett Patterson last night just posted a picture of himself and said, "God, I just want to take this time to thank you in advance for what's about to come." And, you know, like most of us do, there was a pretty major reaction on social media. And, you know, depending how you read that, it could seem ominous or like, or at least it could seem like something is about to change, right? And then you couple that with the news yesterday that Washington worked out a running back, Dante Foreman, who drafted by the Texans, played for University of Texas. I dug into this a little bit last night, made some texts, made a phone call. I expect Patterson's role is going nowhere. He's doing well. The team's happy with him. I do think the team liked having a veteran running back on its practice squad. And I think when the Raiders claimed Peyton Barber, I'm not sure that the Washington football team was thrilled Barber got claimed.
But if they weren't going to put him on the roster, they're not going to put him on the roster, they can't sit up there and be concerned about that.
Totally. Absolutely, B. But that leads me to believe that perhaps they're looking at another running back with some experience to get on their practice squad. Because listen, I've had folks tell me they weren't thrilled when Peyton Barber got claimed off the practice squad, and now they worked somebody out. I think they want a veteran RB on their practice squad, especially considering COVID concerns and how, you know, at any given moment, if somebody pops, you could lose a whole room kind of thing. But for everybody concerned about Jarrett Patterson's role, they like him. So I don't think people should read too much into a tweet that is really just a young man
When was the tweet?
It was last night. He said, God, I just want to take this time to thank you in advance for what's about to come. I think he's just happy. I think he's thrilled with where he is and knows how much more he can do.
It could be. Is his role about to expand?
It could be. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, you also have Antonio Gibson, who I just made a point of watching in practice. He looks fine. I doubt he'll even be on the injury report. But Gibson had the little, I think he got labeled a minor shoulder sprain. He probably just got popped in the shoulder. But, you know, I mean, I look at that and don't see something ominous. But I do believe people overreact on social media.
Well, it's too much. I mean, he could just be saying, thank you, God, for whatever you're about to give me. I mean, that happens often. And a lot of people may not have that type of relationship that they think that way. It could be simply that. You know what I mean? So,
certainly.
I don't know.
Another note from practice, B. Mitch, that I don't think you're going to like.
What's that?
And we saw him go in and out of the locker room last Thursday against the Giants. Matt Ioannidis is on the side fields working with the trainers. Now, it's only Tuesday.
When I saw him go in and I saw him go back in the game, I'm like, okay. I mean, is he okay? But I don't know. A lot of these big guys get nicked up a lot.
Well, and I mean, Ioannidis has been a guy that's struggled with injuries his whole career. I mean, I'll pull it up real quick. How many 16-game seasons do you think Ioannidis has played?
Two. One.
He is in – this is his – one, two, three, four. This is his sixth year in the NFL.
One
is the correct answer in 2019. Mm-hmm. Last year, he only played three games. His rookie year, he only played 10. He's got a pair of 14-game seasons on the docket there. I think it's entirely premature. We'll get an injury report tomorrow, I believe. I'll tell you what, and I would guess you kind of like this, B-Mitch. As a reporter, I kind of hate it, but that's my role versus a coach's role.
Mm-hmm.
So because of kind of the quirkiness to Washington's season opening schedule, where they played Sunday, then Thursday, then not again until Sunday. The normal NFL practice structure is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practices with the media present at all of them. This is now the second week where Ron, it appears to me, is trying to not let the media be out here as close to a game as possible. So the practice schedule for the media this week is Tuesday, then Wednesday and Thursday. And Friday is their off day. But I got a feeling
Friday, who's off? The team?
Friday the media's off. Not that the team is off. Because they have an extra day to practice.
Well, see, somebody in the media needs to reach out, because I don't know if that is legal for them to do that.
It is. They have to let us be out here 3 days a week, and the coach has to be available 4 days a week. So Ron already spoke to the media after the game. He did a conference call. And then he'll talk three more times. I mean, eventually this stuff will, like, starting next week, it'll all just be a normal schedule because the games are all normal schedules. But it's been an interesting kind of circular road, I'll say, of practices. It hasn't been just like the most direct. And one difference for sure is that when there used to be the old regime, kind of hated the media, but they just let us come out here whenever. They did not concern themselves with largely what the media was doing, and these folks are on top of it. So it's just kind of a little bit of a strange schedule.
You can worry too much. So he gave him
an off day Monday.
Focus on the damn team you're playing.
We'll see. They gave him an off day Monday, and then Friday they're calling it a recovery day. But I have a feeling they'll be doing some stuff that we just don't get to see. And I think a lot of it is Ron hates disclosing stuff on the injury reports and injury information. And if we're not out here Friday and it's a recovery day, I don't believe they'll have an injury report that day.
But just think about
it. If they do, there's nobody to know.
Think about a recovery day. You practicing on Friday. You're not walking through Friday and Saturday.
Right.
So, I mean, let's be real. That's just to try to circumvent what the rules truly are, or to position himself where he don't have to say nothing. And you're right about that. But that's a bunch of BS in my book. 100% BS. See, you're not going to control the message forever. Eventually, this is going to crack, and you're going to start talking about stuff. That's a simple rule of a simple way of trying to control everything. Because you're 2 days before a game, and the media can't talk to you at all. The last time they talked to you was 3 days before the game.
He might do a Zoom. I wouldn't be stunned if there's a Zoom on Friday. But we won't watch practice. That much I know.
Okay.
It is an interesting time. When we return, Pete Haley will join the program. We'll get our first looking ahead to Buffalo and what we saw out on the practice field. We'll get a Matt Ioannidis update as well next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Got to let the Prince play. I can only imagine. Brian, you is he dancing? Landfill, is he dancing?
Of course.
We were in the Hamptons this past weekend, and it ended up like Jay would drive, and then B. Mitch would drive, and Jay had this sick Jeep with all the – it was beautiful weather, so the doors and the roof were off and everything, so I'd ride with him, and then we'd pull up next to B. Mitch at a light or something, and you could just hear the Prince piling out of the car, loud as hell.
Yeah.
B. Mitch loves himself some Prince.
There you go.
Right now, not even on the BetQL guest line, in person, Mr. Pete Haley joins us. Hello, Peter. How do you do?
Hello, JP. Hello, Brian. I hope you guys had a lovely trip to the Hamptons. Those pictures looked great, and I'm glad to see you back, though. JP, I missed you. Long weekend without you.
Yeah. Speaking of long weekends, Matt Ioannidis played Thursday, and it's now Tuesday, and he didn't practice. Tell me what you saw. Let's get kind of an update, and then I want to have a conversation about what happens next here.
Yeah, Ioannidis was on the Curtis Samuel side field. I believe it's been named after him. Not doing a whole lot, no helmet, no anything. And I didn't see him doing too many hardcore agility drills. So certainly something to monitor. Big man, not moving around too much. There are two more days of practice and then Friday as well for him to get ready for this Sunday kickoff. But without him, this D-line's already sort of underwhelming. And if you miss Ioannidis, then there might be some more underwhelming to come.
Speaking of the defense and they being underwhelming, what have you noticed about them that they not? What are they not doing this year that they did at a high level last year?
Well, I think the big key for them right now is that, and I know they had four sacks against the Giants, but one of them was from Kendall Fuller. I think that front four isn't generating the type of heat you would like them to, and that's kind of a defensive coordinator's dream, right? Is to be able to get pressure with those front four guys so you can use as many players in coverage as you want. And it's an interesting issue for them to have because in looking at how the Steelers beat the Bills in week one, the Steelers, Josh Allen dropped back 56 times, but he was only blitzed once. The Steelers used four-man pressure on him 55 out of 56 times. They still got to him a bunch. They sacked him three times. He had a horrific game, and if Washington's front can somehow wake up and be the group we expect them to be and allow Jack Del Rio to use his linebackers that are pretty bad and a secondary that can hopefully be good in coverage, then that's the best way to attack this Buffalo offense, I think. But Beamish, yeah, there's issues abound. You could choose anything on all three levels of the group, but I think the front four not being as dominant as they should be and can be has leaked down and caused many other problems throughout the group.
You and I were texting about this last night. You wrote a good blog off of my interview with Ron Rivera yesterday. When Ron mentioned he's disappointed and at times it's almost like they're playing immature, did that stand out to you as much as it did to me?
Definitely. Last year, Ron's like bad word, it seemed to be regression. And he would use that with Dwayne and then also some other players. But mostly when you heard the word regression, you knew that he was very ticked off with a player. This year, his theme has been, I don't want my team to be immature. He wants them to be able to handle the success they have coming off of that division title. So when you hear the word immature, it seems like that's his theme. And when they're immature, they're going completely against what he wants. And to me, that means the players aren't trusting the scheme, that Chase Young or Cole Holcomb or Landon Collins, whatever you want on a certain play, is trying to go out of their assignment to make something happen instead of just playing their assignments and letting them or their teammates fill in the gap. So immature is definitely a buzzword, and that stuck out to me too. Disappointing, immature, and so not us were the three things he said with the defense. He's seeing flashes of positivity, but with the group, with as many high-regarded players as this, there needs to be more than flashes. It needs to be consistent.
I get
I agree with you. I just wonder, and you try not to be negative or harp on things. Most of this defensive success last year came against terrible quarterbacks, and they're not facing terrible quarterbacks anymore. Maybe they'll be able to get to Matt Ryan a ton. Josh Allen hasn't looked great this year. But do you wonder if perhaps our expectations just got out of control? We're talking with Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington. And Pete, that's kind of my question for you. We've now seen two games where the defense has underperformed. Now, the statistics will tell you they rank 24th in the NFL in yards allowed. Last year they were top five.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to get back into a top 15, top 10 type defense? Because there's still plenty of time to do it. Or do you think maybe we all kind of ash-burned ourselves with our expectations?
I'm sure there's some ash-burning. You would always say, remember Ben DiNucci, and the more you said it, the more it resonated with me. And it's not just him. It's Nick Mullins, Nate Sudfeld. You've talked about those quarterbacks a ton over the past couple months, and this year's quarterbacks are way, way better. So I do think that the expectations got a bit out of hand. Now, on the flip side, we also expected, okay, if the quarterbacks on the other side make this defense a little bit worse, well, there's hopefully going to be better quarterback play here that will in turn help them and maybe cancel it out, maybe help them just break even and still be the group we think they can be. And Heinicke played well on Thursday night, and if he can continue to string together efforts like that and the running game can get going and they limit the turnovers, then they put the defense in better spots and these games are more even and they're not coming from behind as much. But I refuse to think, and I said it last week, okay, they're going to get right, and then if not, I'll readjust myself.
Last week, you thought they were going to pitch a shutout.
Yes, and
which hasn't happened since Brian Mitchell had a mustache and before he won a Super Bowl.
Correct. I'm still just confused as to how a group with Chase Young and all these guys can be so poor. And I don't know if it's a lot of the coaching issues or if it's just the players again not sticking to what the coaches are telling them to do. But I still have faith that they're going to be at least top 12. Like, okay, maybe top three was a little bit out of hand and these quarterbacks are going to be too much to overcome on a weekly basis. But still, you sign William Jackson. You have these players in the secondary, Kendall Fuller. You have a really good D-line. I know your linebackers are lackluster. But to me, top 12 is still attainable, even with the slate of opponents they have. There are just too many good players and a coordinator that has too much of a track record to think that they're going to be middling in the 25s.
Who are they going to shut down?
Well, again, I think it's going to have to be this D-line waking up. And there are probably fans out there who are already over it and think Chase Young is a little overrated and Jonathan Allen, he's playing great, but Daron Payne's not doing enough and Ioannidis is a rotational guy and Tim Settle hasn't popped and that they're already ready to kind of jump off the bandwagon here. I think these guys, whether they're out of shape for some reason or these practices haven't whipped them into shape enough or they're trying to do too much individually and not work as a team or they disagree with Sam Mills, whatever it is, I think they're too good to let these issues be a year-long problem. So I'm hoping the adjustment comes back quick and they can start showing themselves to be the group we all thought they could be.
Fast forward into the weekend, what is the one thing that troubles you the most about Buffalo?
I think it's going to be the Allen Diggs connection, especially on some of the off-schedule plays. I mean, we saw Darius Slayton break free. That was a pretty standard drop back with Daniel Jones, and there was a major communication breakdown. But, you know, hopefully you clean those up. But then when Allen's scrambling around and guys just have to glue themselves to a player, I mean, Stephon Diggs is pretty hard to glue yourself to. And is William Jackson good enough in man-to-man to silence him? Can these safeties help over the top? Like, I'm scared of this defense turning in some sort of good performance, but then in the fourth quarter, Allen breaks free, he's pointing around, and then he throws it up, and the ball's in midair. You have no idea what's going to be on the other side of that screen when the camera moves, and then it pans over, and there's Diggs all by himself, and there's a safety in a corner putting their hands up, being confused. So Buffalo doesn't run the ball. They don't care to run the ball too much, and I think their defense is pretty good, of course. Leslie Frazier, a lot of good names on that defense, but I have more faith in Heinicke than I do this defense right now, which is scary. Another person that Ron is familiar
with, Leslie Frazier. They were on the same defensive staff.
Yeah, and same team growing up in the 80s with Chicago.
Yes.
So, yeah, to me, Stephon Diggs scares the hell out of me, Brian.
Wow.
I mean, I think you got to add in Josh Allen's ability to run the ball after watching Daniel Jones last week.
Right.
I mean, they looked wholly unprepared for the read option last
week. Which is baffling because Ron talked to us about how dynamic of a runner Daniel Jones is. And hello, he was an issue last year on those read options. I tweeted out a clip. The Landon Collins screw-up on Thursday night was the exact same screw-up he had in MetLife last year with Daniel Jones running around the left, Landon crashing too hard. And yes, if I'm Buffalo, I think they prefer to have Allen in the pocket, but I would certainly install plenty of read options and run them early to see if Washington's made any adjustments, because if not, that's 8 yards guaranteed at the minimum, and at best, you can break free and have a 50-yard touchdown with the way these guys are tackling and taking really bad angles on those snaps.
It's early. It's certainly early.
Correct.
But I'm going to go hand up, and I'll allow you to go hand up, and there's someone named Pykel Millips that I think is the leader of the hand up here. We all watch Landon Collins in OTAs and then in training camp. We're like, wow, what an incredible return. Either he's not all the way back or it's the same version of Landon we saw last year that wasn't all that helpful on the field.
Yeah, I think it's a combination.
I thought he was all the way back. I thought he looked good. Hand up here.
I was saying he was the X factor for this defense, and I thought if he could return to somewhere near his Giants form, it'd be massive, and fans would start forgiving him for the way he's played on this contract. I took a note in my new notebook where I watch games and write down kind of my takeaways. One of the notes was Landon might still be bad. And, you know, it wasn't just him getting healthy. It was him getting healthy and then being used better and figuring out the scheme, because even when he was healthy the previous 2 years, underperforming again. Yeah, I think 26 is a liability as much as he has been, and you need to see Cam Curl and Bobby McCain maybe a little more than Landon, which is
the
crappy when you pay him $80 million.
The touchdown that Jones ran, he was behind him. He didn't get any closer.
Yeah, that's a quarterback who runs a 4.8. I know he's maybe faster than that, but Landon, you're saying you feel better than you've ever felt after this Achilles injury. That play did not back up your words one bit.
I mean, McCain didn't look very impressive against that read option either. None of them did.
No.
It's hard to – the way Daniel Jones was able to move the ball, I mean, you had your D-line and the linebacker missing just assignment football, like simple stuff where the D-end's supposed to bury that running back and whoever's got that outside contain has to bury that quarterback. But the pursuit angles on that stuff was undeniably awful. And, B, I know that was driving you crazy as we were watching it.
Definitely. I mean, I just think that, and then, like, not only being immature, as Ron is saying, they were undisciplined, you know, because everybody wanted to tackle the running back. But you have to take an angle to where you could cut somebody off. But this is the problem I felt. I felt a lot of them wasn't fast enough to take that angle to cut him off, the one that they needed to take.
And the undisciplinedness stretches into penalties. I mean, Chase Young's had a couple neutral zone infractions. They've had roughing the passers, DPIs, holdings. I mean, take your pick. They have penalties of all sorts. I think they had 9 on Thursday, and they had plenty in the opener as well. And so it's not just in between the whistles. It's also post-whistle, and, you know, when the play's over, you see some laundry on the field that is screwing them over too. It's kind of a disaster right now, JP, and I still believe they'll fix it, but my God, there's a lot to fix.
You had them resting their starters in Week 18 because they already sealed up the division.
I might have erred seriously with that prediction.
All right, Pete might have erred, but thank you to Pete Haley for joining us. We back.
What was that noise you just made?
The noise I made?
Yeah, it sounded like you. It must have been when you just grabbed the mic. That's all it was.
Oh, I don't know. I just went in and talk to Michael Phillips about Landon Collins. So here's the thing. Philly kind of drove the boat on the Landon Collins is back, and there's reason for great excitement. Uh-huh. And I was in the boat. Don't get me wrong. I was on board. And so I was talking to Phillips about it, and he's like, yeah, you know, I think we were off on that. But at the same time, Phillips said, he's like, he has made a full recovery. He's the same player he was before, and that isn't exactly what we were hoping for either. Mm-hmm. We want 2015 New York Giants Landon Collins.
But I think that's the way it was being presented during the
right.
when he came
I mean,
back. And I saw a couple of things. I'm like, okay, he's moving a little faster, but I don't care about the straight line when you're running. I care about when you put the foot in the ground and go the other direction. And that right there is not the same.
No. I mean, you're right. It's fairly simple. I don't know if we got to talk about this earlier. Did you see that David Culley's got a role with his rookie quarterback? And they play on Thursday night. Davis Mills gets the start.
Yeah.
For the Texans?
Yep. And, I mean, Tyrod, man, he's
Does
he's
anybody
a
have
break.
Worse luck
nah,
than Tyrod
he's been
Taylor.
Getting the bad break, but he's going to be out for
He literally had a team doctor puncture his lung.
Yeah, yeah. Not like, good. But I think they'll get Mills
That's
ready.
That's
got to
be grounds for a massive lawsuit, right?
You would think, but I think the way that this NFL thing is set up, you can't sue him.
I don't know, man.
I saw all these team doctors get away with all the crap that they do.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I imagine there's some kind of crazy waiver or something. I don't know. It's a tricky situation. I do feel bad for Tyrod Taylor. Coming up next, I believe Ron Rivera spoke with the Sports Junkies this morning, as he does every Tuesday, and we have a bunch of different audio clips picked out that B-Mitch and I will react to. I think it'll be a lot of fun because – you know, one thing I always enjoy listening to those Junkies interviews because it's not – I mean, I do an interview with Ron every week also, right? But it's kind of more straightforward about football. The Junks kind of go all over the place. Like, they've done it with Mike Rizzo. They've done these things, and it's fun to listen to. One thing that I asked Ron yesterday was about John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson going for it on that fourth down in the Sunday night game. I feel like that must be one of the best feelings a coach can have when he does the Sam Cassell dance and then is rewarded.
Yeah, I think both coach and player. For the player, your coach totally believed in you that he asked you. For the coach, when I decided to go with it, he made it happen. Because he was like, Lamar, you want to go for this? He didn't talk to anybody else. And Lamar said, hell yeah. And he got the first down for him. That's all that matters. They both look like geniuses because it worked.
Totally. Play to win the game. That play
Nobody
won the game.
He didn't ask the offensive coordinator. Nobody said he didn't ask anybody else. If he hadn't, then those people start saying, well, wow, that's kind of funny. He didn't even talk to his coordinator. You know what I'm saying? But when it happens, nobody cares about all that. It worked. So next time, he and Lamar can make the decision again.
When we return on The Fan, let's hear from Washington football coach Ron Rivera.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.